This is the Live Feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
On today's show, a Minneapolis comedian talks with us about his experience pursuing comedy in Minnesota. A fairly new face to the entertainment world, this comedian comments on everyday life, politics, himself, and shares with us how he casually approaches humor. Stick around to hear his live set at Ed's No Name Bar in Winona. Here's Bill Stoneberg and our feature comic.
I'm here at Comedy Night at Ed's. You want to introduce yourself?
My name is Mark Nussbaum.
When did you find out you wanted to be a comedian?
I just kind of fell into it. I've been doing improv for about a year, and I actually did an open mic with a friend of mine, Joey Vincent. And like 5 minutes before the show, the guy who was running the room was like, "Oh, do you want to do time?" And I was like, "I don't have anything, but sure." And I went up there and felt pretty good, and here I am. So
cool. Just try it out and see how it works, huh?
Yeah.
What's your family think?
They actually really enjoy it. My dad is actually, he's a little bit older, but he actually has tried his hand in stand-up now, too. Yeah, and we kind of had a funky relationship before I actually started comedy, but oddly enough, going to open mics with my dad has actually kind of created a closer bond between us.
Cool.
Yeah.
So he got into it after you did?
Yeah. Yeah, I did it a couple times, and he got inspired, and so he does it, too. So sometimes we'll go to open mics together. Like last night, we did two open mics together, and it was really
cool. Excellent. Anyone you look up to or inspired by?
No one in particular. I try to draw upon a myriad of different types of humor and setting, and like this guy miming a penis to his mouth right now, like that was really funny. So I might do that on stage later. Who knows? But I like very physical humor. You know, that's
okay.
Really funny to me.
Do you ever remember bombing? And if so, how do you recover from that?
Yeah, I remember a lot, lots of times. I was actually talking about this on the ride up with these guys. Like, I remember, like, the worst time ever, one of the worst, is this guy, Mike Lesser, went up at Goonies, and, like, everything he did, he raised an eyebrow. People were like, "Oh, my God, I'm so funny!" People just loved him. And so he got off stage, and literally, like, half the room walked out to talk to him. The people that were left were, like, half paying attention, and people in the back talking, and, like, I didn't even know how to recover from that at that point. I was just like, and I got off stage. It was, like, the worst feeling ever. But now, like, I don't take it personally, and I just kind of, like he said, just try to learn from it.
What's your writing process like?
I don't really have one, per se. I don't know, like, I really take, like, a creative approach to it some days. Like, I'll just kind of talk about it, and, like, after I kind of, like, talk, like, I'll write it down, or if, like, I'm in a bar, I'm, like, three sheets to the wind or something, and I say something, I'm like, "Oh, I gotta write that down," or put it in my phone. Sometimes I'll be really analytical with it and try to find the humor in something, so I don't know. I'm still kind of finding it.
Yeah. Okay. So you put stuff on your phone, so you don't have, like, a whole pocket full of cocktail napkins with jokes?
No,
like,
well, I have this too.
Okay.
No, I actually have this program. It's called Evernote. So if you type something in your phone, it'll actually go to a cloud, and then if you go on your laptop, it'll actually download your laptop.
You work any improv into your set, or?
Like Robert said, if something happens, like, I'll address it. Like, I remember one time I was talking about something that was, like, actually kind of traumatic to me, but it was funny. You know, I made it funny, but this girl was just laughing so hard. I couldn't help it. I was like, "Thank you for laughing at my tragedy. That's awesome." You know? So I really like kind of drawing people into things, you know, like this lady that just sat down.
Do you have a favorite place to perform that you've been to?
Not really. I like to try, like, a bunch of different venues. I do agree with them. Goonies, Acme, like any place where people are, like, ready to laugh. But actually, my new favorite place is actually Halftime Rec. There's, like, five, and he laughs because there's, like, five people that are, like, maybe there to listen to you, but maybe not. And you really have to work hard. to get them to laugh and get their attention. So it's kind of a challenge, you know.
Kind of work your chops that way, huh? How does it feel being a comic from Minnesota?
I'm newer than these guys, so I've kind of experienced like the baby phase of it. And you know, I'd agree with them. Like if like when you first start out, comics, or a lot of comics that have been in it for a while, like really won't talk to you, and they're kind of almost abrasive. But if you show that you have a really good work ethic and you're showing up and you start to get funnier, you know, people will be a little more open to kind of open their arms to you and stuff.
Cool.
So many people try it, but not everybody sticks it out. So
you stick it out a little bit, pay your dues, and then people help.
Yeah.
I know you said you're kind of new, but any advice for people starting out?
Just kind of get out there, do as much time as possible, write, bomb, like just bomb and embrace it and just try to learn from it. If something doesn't work, just be like, oh, try to fix it and make it better, I guess.
Anything you'd like to tell the folks at home?
I like wine, and actually, that's one of the reasons why I came down here, because I have 2-for-1 bottles tonight.
Yeah, it's a good night.
Awesome. Yeah, raise it.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate you sitting down to talk to me, and we're going to enjoy the show now.
Thanks. Awesome.
Coming to the stage this evening is a feisty, energetic young man who was a semifinalist in this summer's Acme's Funniest Person in the Twin Cities contest. And he runs an open mic in the Twin Cities Melting Pot every other Thursday, which is tomorrow if you're up in the cities. Come see him. Please welcome Mark Nussbaum. Woo!
So you guys have 2-for-1s and bottles of wine. That's awesome. Like, I love drinking wine because I want my hangovers to be very luxurious. You know, I want my hangovers to mean something, you know? All right, so I'm going to start off with something a little weird here. I'm going to see if you guys in the back can kind of figure it out. I don't know, it's kind of quiet. Maybe you guys pick up on this. All right, here we go. Does anybody know what that was? Anyway? She said Velociraptor. Close. Michelle Bachman. Yeah, that was my impersonation of Michelle Bachman. That's the scary thing, is she sounds like a Velociraptor. She might actually win the presidency. I hope not. Shoot my face off. No, I feel like I can do that joke, though, because I actually grew up, or she grew up, in Anoka, Minnesota. Yeah, actually, Anoka is actually Ojibwe for trailer trash. Little kernel of knowledge. They say if you put your ear to the ground, many mullets can be found. Yeah, yeah. And the bucket on the floor that I kicked. No, yeah, it's really crazy. Anoka, do you like that, guys? No, Anoka has this horrible reputation. I think I've had too much wine. I'm like, reparations. I'm talking about Native Americans up here. No, Anoka actually has this horrible reputation. I was telling this lady where I was from. She's like, Anoka, huh? You must be racist. I'm like, no. I'm like, it skips a generation. Duh. It's like, my dad totally hated Mexicans. I'm cool, but my kid is totally going to hate Somalis. Totally. Oh, shoot. Like, I like to drink a lot, and I'm trying not to drink as much as I do and try not to spend as much. So, like, in my crazy mind, I was like, oh, I'll go out and I'll get an Xbox 360. That way, like, I won't spend as much money. What ended up happening is I would get off work, you still go out and drink and spend money, and then I play Xbox till like 5 in the morning, just wasted. Like, it's completely counterproductive. And now things are horrible because this game came out. It's called Skyrim. I don't know if you've heard of this game. It's a fantasy game and where you don't get laid. Pretty much, like, in this game, I'm spending all this time, like, powering up, becoming this powerful mage. But in my real life, like, everything's just crumbling before me. Like, my bills are just piling up. Like, my house is just a shit show. Like, my cat's ODing on catnip. Like, I'm smoking catnip now because it's the only way I can play Skyrim. It's horrible. It's like funny, I could be a master of dragons, but I'm not a master of my own life. You know? This girl, they can't make this up. This girl actually was like, so why didn't we hang out last week? And I'm like, well, see, there's this game called Skyrim, and I was pretty far into the main quest, so I couldn't break that, but you know, I beat the dragon so we could totally hang out. So I'm single. But I recently found out what depression was. I signed up for Match.com, which is, like, horrible. Like, if you ever want to, like, feel bad about yourself, just go to an online dating website for, like, 20 minutes. You want to shoot yourself in the face. And actually, one of the reasons why I went to a dating website is, like, I'm afraid to date now because my last girlfriend, she actually got engaged to somebody else while we were together. Yeah. I got tricked into a timeshare vagina. The other tenant was so clean, I had no idea he was ever there. I mean, kudos to the carpet cleaner. Spotless work. Oh, my life was like Maury Povich for like 6 months. I swear to God. Like, I found out she had 2 phones. Can you believe that? I didn't know Sprint had a plan for that. It's called the Broken Family Plan, apparently. She had her weekends free for stuff. No, when I first found out, I was like really mad. Like, I wanted to get hit by lightning. Lightning is the name of my car, by the way. No, I'm just kidding. It's the name of my gun. Oh, when I think about it, like, I feel like I moved on now, you know, because I rarely ever listen to Adele anymore. You know, only Toby Keith for me, you know. I don't even know. I would sing one song, but I don't know any Toby Keith. What am I going to do? I did actually just start seeing someone, which I think is pretty cool. Yeah, and I love my therapist. I really, really do. And I can't make this up. Like, people think I make this up when I tell this story, but I was actually telling my therapist about what happened to me, and he's like, well, Mark, I think you should have a one-night stand. I'm like, what? And he's like, well, be smart about it. I'm like, okay, so do you have any patients you want to refer? Or, like, how do I go about getting this prescription filled? Like, are you going to give me a to-go box with, like, roofies and cocaine? Just walk into some random bar. Like, and I'm wondering, like, where did this guy get his PhD from? The Jersey Shore? Like, who says that? I don't know. It's kind of funny. Like, I think one of my issues with girls is, like, I'm not, like, confident, like, picking them up. Like, I can't be, like, one of those dudes in the nightclub. And they're all ripped wearing, like, Affliction shirts. Like, all they have to do is walk up to a girl and they're like, hey, what's up? Here's my dick. Figure it out. It's like I can't even do that. I can't even dance. Like, in my car, I'm just like, oh. You know, like, I put it down. But then I get out and I'm like, my lower half of my body does not want to work. I'm like Steve Martin from The Jerk. And that's a new joke. That worked in front of my cat. Yeah, they're not all first-round draft picks. Just saying. So I think, I don't know if you know this. Like, I think it's okay if you say you feel like crap, but it's not okay if somebody affirms that you actually look like crap. You can be like, oh, bro, I'm so tired. Just feel like crap. And they're like, yeah. Yeah, you look like an ass monster came out of a fart cloud. You look pretty bad. And I'm like, thanks, Dad. Real supportive there, Pa. No, my dad's really nice. My dad's actually older. He's almost 80 years old, and I used to be insecure about it. No, my dad's almost 80. I used to have a hard time with it, but I went to a funeral with him a couple of months ago, and it was a great service. It was really sad. Like halfway through, this lady singing this beautiful song. You know, my dad looks to me, and he's like, oh, this is good. This is on the wings of Jesus. This is a good one. I realized at that moment, oh, my God. Like, my dad is so old, and he's been to so many funerals that all of a sudden he's become a funeral critic. I can just see him going to, like, different funerals. Like, oh, what is this? Amazing Grace, really? Oh, this is hack work. Should have been at Bob's funeral. They at least didn't have instant coffee. Oh, this is horrible. I've realized, like, how nonchalant he is now about death. Like, he's just so cool with it. Like, I'll call him up, and I'll be like, hey, Dad. And he's like, oh, hi. I had a turkey sandwich today, and Bob died, and twins were on at 4 o'clock. I'm like, wait, Bob died? Oh, yeah, he had a heart attack, but are you going to rake the leaves later? Like, oh, my God. Like, he's just so nonchalant about it. Like, I'm afraid, like, if I get a lump, I have cancer. I'm like, oh, my God, I have cancer. Like, I'm like, pulling my hair. I'm like, oh, God, I'm afraid of everything. Like, I don't know. Like, old people are crazy. Like, I realized this yesterday. Like, I think the moment you realize your parents are too old to drive is when you're a wasted in the car with them and you feel like you're a better driver. Like, this happened to me last night. Like, I'm driving in the car with my dad, and he's, like, trying to change the knobs on the radio. Like, he's all trying to drive with his knee, and we're weaving in and out of traffic. And I'm like, oh, my God, how has he not died yet? Like, this is crazy. And I'm, like, becoming the worst backseat driver. I'm like, Dad, like, we're in the other road. Dad, we're in a ditch. Dad, we're underwater. There's a whale. Watch out. It's crazy. My dad comes from a different era, though. Like, and I realized this. We went out to eat, and he tried to order a cup of coffee. He's like, oh, I'd like a cup of coffee, Afro-American. I'm like, Dad, oh, please? I'm like, Dad, that's insensitive. He's like, I said please. I don't think he realized he's being racist. Like, now I think we've had, like, diversity shoved down our throats, you know? But, like, in his time, like, that was not racist at all. Apparently, you could order a cup of coffee Afro-American. I don't know. It's funny to me. But the other day, I was, like, thinking about my childhood and how my dad and I, we used to go on these rides. Like, this one, it was really scary. It was called the DWI. Yeah. Apparently, it was a lot cheaper back in the 80s. You know, wow, that got dark really quick. Well, on that note, you guys like to drink beer? Yeah? But otherwise, my name is Mark Nussbaum. Thanks for, like, listening to me.
Thank you again to Mark Nussbaum for taking the time out to interview with us. You've been listening to his set at Ed's No Name Bar.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.